Joining me for this podcast to encourage, inspire, and strengthen. If you have a Bible or some other device, please turn with me to the book of Job. While the main text comes from Job 38 and 1, I want to share a few other passages of scripture to expand our view of Job. Job 1 and 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and shewed evil. Job 1, 8a, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? Job 1:19, suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed and all are dead. Job 1 and 20, then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped. Job 13:15, Job said, though they slay me, yet will I trust in him. Job 14:14b, Job said, all the days of my appointed time will I wait until my change comes. Text comes from Job 38 and 1. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. Let us pray. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. May my teaching drop as the rain, my speech distills as the dew, like gentle rain upon the tender grass, and like showers upon the herb. For I will proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God. Amen. Our subject for today, whose report will you believe when the dust settles? Some of you may have seen or heard the new Lifetime documentary about the Clark sisters as pioneers of modern gospel music in America and throughout the world. If you haven't seen the special, you might still know that the matriarch of the family was a lady named Mattie Moss Clark. In addition to being the lead music ministry director for the Church of God in Christ, Dr. Mattie Moss Clark was almost single-handedly responsible for helping, developing, or launching the music careers of artists such as the Clark sisters, Jay Moss, Donnie McClurkin, John P. Key, The Winans, Paul Morton, Mary, Kier, Sheard, and many others, including a teddy bear-looking gentleman with a soulful baritone voice named Douglas Miller. In the 80s and 90s, Douglas Miller had 5 albums that were top 15 on the gospel Billboard charts. 10 years ago, we invited Douglas Miller to come and be our guest vocalist for our Easter service at the House of God, Indianapolis. He did an excellent job singing some of his award-winning songs for us. When I say it was a great service, it was a great service. On the way back to his hotel, he told us the story of a lifetime when he realized that he had mistakenly signed a bad record deal with a secular recording company. The deal was bad because it crippled his opportunities to make money off his own music. He got into an argument with the head of the record label that forced him into the bad contract. The guy Douglas Miller was arguing with said he would kill him if he did not honor the contract. Douglas was in the greatest storm of his life and he had no idea how he was going to get out of it. He was so upset after the argument that he went into his room and he wrote the most famous words of his life. Douglas was eventually able to get out of that bad contract. I don't know how many of us have had a bad deal, how many of us have signed a bad contract, how many of us have sometimes just had a bad day, but what I do know, we're all going through something, all of us. I invite you to close your eyes for a moment and listen to the words Douglas wrote when he was literally in a fight for his life. Here are the words.
Though the storms keep on raging in my life, sometimes it's hard to tell the night from day. Still, that hope that lies within is reassured as I keep my eyes upon the distant shore. I know he'll lead me safe that blessed place he has prepared. But if the storm don't cease, and if the winds keep on
Once again, whose report will you believe when the dust settles? A report is a record of truth resulting from the account of witnesses that saw and know what happened. A police report is a document detailing a crime or a problematic incident. A report card is a teacher's written assessment of a student's work, progress, performance, and conduct, sent home to a parent or guardian. An expense report is a record of financial outcomes tracked during a specified period of time. The Bible is the report of humanity's creation, rise, fall, and salvation through Jesus. Whose report will you believe when the dust settles? Dust particles are tiny bits of rock, ash, and organic matter that have been ground into fine pieces by wind and wear. Metaphorically speaking, when dust settles means there was a season of chaos and confusion that has transitioned into a season of clarity and calm. If I were to take a poll, the overwhelming majority of everyone listening would probably say they would prefer not to ever deal with dust. But if you turn to Genesis 2 and 7, God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Yes, we came from dust. Psalm 113, for the Lord knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. So no matter how we look at it, unless we get rid of our dusty cells, we cannot get rid of the dust that invades our life. If I were to take another poll, the same group that would probably say they don't like dust would also probably say they aren't a fan of life-changing storms. But today we will learn. Two negatives can make a positive because the water from the rain of a storm is what causes dust to settle. Allow me to say it a different way. When a car becomes really dusty, a bottle of water isn't going to be enough to make it look new again. That dusty car has to go through the chaos of a car wash. And after the car has suffered a while, it comes out perfect. Though the storms keep on raging in my life, and sometimes it's hard to tell my night from day, still that hope that lies within is reassured. Take heart. Paul reminds us God is not the author of confusion, but according to Job, Satan kicks up dust. Like Douglas Miller, Job found himself going through a storm also. Let me tell you a little bit about Job. Job was a wealthy man. He lived in an area called Uz with his family and their extended families. He had vast property and animals. He was described as blameless and upright, constantly striving to live in a righteous manner. Job's actions pleased God so much that God bragged to Satan about Job's virtue. Satan's rebuttal was that Job was only righteous because God favored him generously with wealth, health, and goodwill. Satan suggested that Job would turn his back on God if he was ever inflicted with suffering. God then permitted Satan to abuse Job in order to prove that Job was worthy of God's recognition. Do you know that sometimes God takes us through to prove that we are worthy of God's recognition? The only caveat was that Satan could not kill Job. Over the time of one day, Job was given four bad reports, each informing him that his sheep, servants, and 10 children had all died due to thieving intruders or natural disasters. Can you imagine? Job ripped the clothes and shaved his head in sorrow, yet he still praised God in his prayers. Would you be able to praise God in the midst of four bad reports that you had lost everything? Well, Job continued to praise God in his prayers. There's more, though, that happened to Job. Job went through something else where God permitted Satan another opportunity to test Job. This time, Job was distressed with terrible skin sores. Job's wife urged him to denounce God and die. Has anybody ever told you to turn your back on God? Because something must be wrong with that relationship if you continue to go through and God is supposed to be taking care of you. But Job refused, and I hope you refuse too, as he endured his afflictions. Job's best friends arrived to comfort him, sitting with him in silence for 7 days. days out of reverence for his grieving. On the seventh day, Job started a discussion in which each of the men shared their reflections on Job's troubles. Job regretted the day he was born, relating life and death to light and darkness. Have you ever regretted? Why was I even brought here on earth with my life being all jacked up like this? But he never gave up on God. All four of Job's friends concluded that Job's pain must have been the result of some sin Job committed. Have you ever been in a storm and wished you had chosen different friends? Because during that storm, the friends that you had weren't friendly at all. Have you ever been in a storm and called one of your friends for comfort, only to realize that friend actually made your pain worse? Job reacted to each of the remarks of his friends, becoming so angry that he called them worthless. Job then questioned God. I want you to honestly consider whether any of these questions have or would have crossed your mind. Job questions why God judged people by their deeds if God had the power to change or forgive their behavior. It was confusing to Job how a human could truly satisfy God if God's ways are mysterious and exceeding human comprehension. Furthermore, Job thought humans couldn't possibly convince God with words because God already knows what the human would say. Because God cannot be fooled, Job confessed that he didn't know his own self well enough to adequately defend his case to God. Job desired for someone to mediate between himself and God. Have you ever wished there was a mediator between you and God? Have you ever wished that you had an attorney that could coherently plead your case before God's throne of mercy? Job believed there was a witness or a redeemer. He said, "My redeemer lives in heaven that could testify to his integrity." And the good news is there still is a mediator, a witness, a redeemer, an attorney that pleads your case. And guess what his name is? Jesus. The suffering overwhelmed Job. He was becoming bitter, anxious, and scared. He got upset that God let evil people thrive while he and many honest people suffered. Job assumed ultimate wisdom was concealed from humans, but he decided to persevere in seeking wisdom by fearing God and evading evil. God eventually intervened. When I was growing up, they used to say, God does not always show up when you want him, but he always shows up on time. God commanded Job to be brave and explained various detailed features of God's creation. Overcome by the power and the presence of God, Job accepted the limitations of his human understanding. That response pleased God. Sick Job, bedridden, virus-infected Job, deathly ill Job, even asked God to forgive his friend's stupidity. God did, and then God restored Job's health, granting him twice as much property as before, new children, and a remarkably long life. In the end, Job never completely gave up hope or faith in God as inspiration to everyone enduring suffering right now. I hope you can be inspired by Job's story. Here are three takeaways from Job's story to encourage you to believe the report of the Lord. Number one, see it. Job's natural eyes saw an awful report. They saw sickness, death, and disease. Job lost his family, flocks, fields, everything. Job's health deteriorated to the point of his wife wanting to pull the plug. Job cried for answers. Job's friends came to sit with him in his dusty situation, and they made things worse. What do you see? Douglas Miller said, "I realize that sometimes in this life you're going to be tossed by the waves and the currents that seem so fierce. But in the Word of God, you have an anchor. It keeps you steadfast and unmovable despite the tide." I remember when I was in St. Martin and I was stuck in a hurricane. The airport was even demolished. We were ready to get off that island. We came to the island for rest and relaxation, a time to bond with my business partners, to be able to see the beach and to be able to watch the sun rise and set. But we found ourselves instead in the middle of a Category 5 hurricane. In the middle of that hurricane, after the airport had been demolished, all we wanted was to get off of the island. It looked like it wasn't going to happen, because if the airport is demolished, then how can you get off the island? Well, I want you to know that after a few days of praying and a few days of calling and contacting and trying to figure it out, the Lord allowed for an army plane to land and lift us out of there. What I want you to know, the airport was still demolished, but God created a runway. God allowed that plane to land. He allowed us to be taken to safety. When Job realized that God had not forsaken him, Job said, "My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Whose report will you believe? I will believe the report of the Lord." Number two, sense it. When tragedy strikes, that's the dust kicking up. It's a period of confusion. The dust was kicking up for Job. There was absolute confusion and he sensed it. But remember the words of the song, "The billows may roll, the breakers may dash. I shall not sway because he holds me fast. So dark the day, clouds in the sky, I know it's all right because Jesus is nigh. My soul has been anchored in the Lord." When Job saw the calamity, he could have believed the report of his spouse and his friends, but the first thing he did was to arise, rinse his mantle, shave his head, and fall down upon the ground and worship God. He didn't stay stuck on the side of the road or slumped over a couch. He sensed the Lord was up to something. He got a haircut, he tore off his old garments, fell on his knees, and he worshiped God. Last point, number three, wait for it. But if the storms don't cease and if the winds keep on blowing in my life, my soul has been anchored in the Lord. Job may have lost his mind, but he didn't lose his faith. Dirty or cheap filters can cause dust. The dust slips through the filters and is then circulated through a home. Scientists say it may take more than 2 hours for dust to settle after a thorough cleaning. Your 2 hours may be 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 years, 2 decades, but all the days of my appointed time will I wait until my change comes. There's a familiar story of a man who during the Great Depression lost his job, his savings, his wife, and his home. But he tenaciously held to his faith, the only thing that he actually had left. One day he stopped to watch men doing stonework on a huge church. One of them was chiseling a triangular piece of stone. "What are you going to do with that?" asked the weary man. The workman said, "See that little opening way up near the spire? Well, I'm shaping this down here so it will fit in up there." Tears filled the eyes of the man that thought he had lost everything as he walked away. It seems that God had spoken through the workman to explain that man's ordeal. As he walked away in tears, he realized God saying to him, "I'm shaping you down here so you'll fit in up there." God is saying the same to us. He's shaping us down here so we can fit in up there. The ultimate objective in this message is for you to know without any doubt, storms come and they go, but God is present through it all. Go through your storm faithfully, believing in God's reported promises. He has never failed us yet. Let us pray. Father God, In the name of Jesus, we come to you in the humblest manner we know how, asking that you will allow us to see it, sense it, and wait for it, because patience possesses our soul. May the sick be healed, the broken be mended, those in despair be elevated. When evil darkens our world, give us light. When despair numbs our soul, give us hope. When we stumble and fall, lift us up. When doubt assails us, give us faith. When nothing seems sure, give us trust. When ideals fade, give us vision. When we lose our way, allow us to be our guide, that we may find peace in your presence and purpose in doing your will. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
But in the word of God.